What he's truly been sentenced to is life without the possibility of parole. The only difference is, by calling it a death penalty, you are paying over $100,000 a year to protect him and his interests. Had you given him life to begin with, he'd still do life without the possibility of parole and never get out. The difference is, you wouldn't be paying for a lie.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and I'm an intern at Prison Radio. Today, we'll hear from our correspondents, Mumia Abu-Jamal, William A. Noguera, and Kenwan Congo Jr. about the death penalty across America. First, Mumia will describe the physical and psychological isolation of death row confinement and will provide some updates from Pennsylvania. Then, William will discuss the reality of the death penalty, cutting through political myth to analyze the economic burden of death sentences to taxpayers. Finally, Kenwan will describe the ethical implications of racism and death penalty sentencing. Starting us off is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Cracks in the abode of death. Few people really know the nature of death rows. It is used as a political prop by politicians and is thus a stepping stone to their gateway of power. But death row is really far more than that. It is a place where men and women, and until recently, even juveniles, were sent to live and die in aching loneliness and despair. That's because death row was specifically designed to isolate people physically and psychologically. On death row, American law reconstructed a caste of the untouchables where no one was allowed to touch you. Not a child, not a parent, not even one's very spouse. But that's not all. You were even isolated from other people on death row. You were in solitary confinement, locked in a cell, alone, for 23 hours a day, until you were executed or left death row. Many, perhaps most men, spent decades under such conditions. Why? Because the state, by creating such extreme conditions, sought to make people into a kind of living dead, so broken that actual death will be but a relief. That fever seems to be breaking, at least in Pennsylvania. Here, today, there's a much smaller death row, where the number has fallen to around 100. And men spend over 8 hours a day out of their cells. They have contact visits. Now the state will no longer sign death warrants and is seeking the abolition of the death penalty. The tide seems to have turned. And death row is no longer the death row of cruel memory. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I am William A. Noguera, and this piece is entitled The Truth About the Death Penalty. I'm calling from death row at San Quentin Prison. Mention the death penalty, and people usually take sides, those for it and those against it. Each group will give you answers about why they believe they're right and the other side is wrong. Those for it will explain the death penalty is necessary because those who murder must pay the ultimate penalty for their actions. Those against it will explain that murder, whether a criminal does it or the state, is still murder. Each side will go on and on about their reasoning and position. Unfortunately, neither side has it right. and both are not looking at the bigger picture. And that's exactly what politicians want. The less you know about the death penalty, the better, because it's easier to manipulate you. Here are some real truths. The death penalty in California is an expensive smokescreen used by politicians who want you to believe they're hard on crime, but nothing can be further from the truth, and they know it. Granted, it sounds great when a district attorney states, we're seeking the death penalty against the defendant. He's an animal killer. He deserves to die for his crimes. First, let's look at the facts. Since 1967, 13 men have been executed. That's less than 0.25% of the more than 1,600 people sentenced to death. This means that more than 800 men condemned to die have died of old age, disease, have killed themselves, were murdered here, or their sentence was overturned. Because here's where the expense comes into effect. As soon as the death penalty is on the table, the defendant gets a death qualified defense team paid for by you, the taxpayer. That means lawyers, investigators, experts, you name it, they get it. The trial, of course, costs 10 times more than a regular trial. At the end of it, if he's found guilty, another trial begins, a penalty phase. That trial also requires lawyers, investigators, experts. If this special jury then gives him the death penalty, you, the taxpayer, has just given that defendant a new appeal team of lawyers, investigators, experts to save his life. He will get a single man cell, breakfast, lunch, and dinner in bed. He's also a celebrity, and he will never be executed. What he's truly been sentenced to is life without the possibility of parole. The only difference is, by calling it a death penalty, you are paying over $100,000 a year to protect him and his interests. Had you given him life to begin with, he'd still do life without the possibility of parole and never get out. The difference is, you wouldn't be paying for a lie. I am William A. Noguera, and that's a bit of truth.
This is Kenwan Congo Jr. calling from a prison camp behind enemy lines. The title of this piece is The Death Penalty. The death penalty continues to be a controversial subject in the United States penal system. Our conversation is to analyze it a little bit deeper. Now my question is, do supporters believe the death penalty should be fair or should it be biased? Advocates have to admit that the death penalty should be fair, but is it? The Boulder study found that black defendants are more than three times as likely to receive the death penalty than whites. Now, some may challenge the validity of this study. Now, that's interesting, because this statistical evidence was accepted as valid by the United States Supreme Court. The highest court in the land admitted racial disparities with the death penalty. The death penalty isn't fair, so is it justice to keep it? Those who are indifferent look at the convicted as sinners. Their offense is a reflection of their weak character. Since all the blame is placed on the offender, they feel as though the harshness is warranted. They feel like the death is deserving. But those who are sympathetic look at the convicted as a person who fell short. Their offense related to unfortunate, unjust situations with the need for redemption. The goal is restoration. Harshness is not warranted. Death is not deserving. The death penalty is not just a political decision. It is a reflection of a person's essence, the essence of their humanity. The death penalty is unfair. The death penalty is a reflection of who you are as a human being. Pro or anti-death penalty, the choice is yours. This is Kenwan Congo Jr. calling from a prison camp behind enemy lines. Thank you. All power to the people.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.